Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I brought this up before the break, and it's a concept of credit and blame. And I'm a big believer in being consistent. You have to be consistent. If you're consistent, then you are fair. If you're not consistent, then you're not fair. And that's in anything. I don't care if you're looking at politics, your business, your personal friendships, your sports conversations, whatever the case is. If you have one set of standards and then you change it for something else, you say, okay, this is my set of standards here, but now when something that I don't like or I don't want, I'm going to change it. I just I don't believe in that. And I would always bring that up with the Bobby Slowick, C.J. Stroud thing. If you want to talk about how great C.J. Stroud is, I'm fine with that. C.J. was incredible last year. But when C.J. doesn't play as well, you can't just say, well, it's not him. It's Bobby Slowick. Unless you were also complimenting Bobby Slowick when C.J. Stroud was doing well, because he was calling those plays too. So I don't think you can have it like, it can't be, well, and I say this about, and it could be about Nick Caserio. I can't talk about the moves I don't like for Nick Caserio. Like, I didn't love the Brevin Jordan draft with Davis Mills and some of those guys. But then if it plays, you know, but then you have to give him credit when, you know, Brevin Jordan's been fine. He's been fine. Davis Mills was okay. He was okay. I mean, there was nothing you could do early on. He's a backup now. He's a capable backup. That's fine. But Nick Caserio has made some moves that I like. He's made some moves that I don't like. But you can't only just, or you shouldn't only just mention the moves that are good if you're on board or bad if you're not, and then try to diminish anything good that is done.
Yeah.
What good does that do? Like, you then your agenda is showing. You should be able to say if
a player, was good, this was bad. This
yeah,
was,
yeah. If a player, like, you got to give credit where credit is due, or if you are all on board, you got to be able to, you know, you got to be able to speak. Like, this is where a lot of guys who are in new media get blamed, is if they're trying to be too much, you know, friendly with the fan base, or friendly with the players, or friendly with the access that they get. Well, then you can't trust them, because they're not going to – all they're going to do is pump sunshine and take their pom-poms and shake them as hard as they can. But they won't say the things that need to be said, that, you know, where areas need to be corrected, where it's not good enough. And if you – but you got to be able to do both. And to be a fair, consistent sports analyst, even if you're just talking with your friends and your buddies – even when it's inconvenient for something you don't want to be the case, if you don't like a offense coordinator, you don't like a GM, you don't like a player, you got to be able to say when they're playing well too. I mean, that's my belief. Oh, and in our business, you have to be able to do it. Yeah. And there's a lot of people in our business who won't do it.
Well, you can tell an agenda.
You want to be right.
In a lot politics of people, or whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't like somebody or what, you just have an agenda. It doesn't matter what they do, what they say, it's bad. It's not
up to your thing. We already know politics is going to be that 100%.
Yeah.
If they're not on your team.
It always is.
If they're not on your team, if you have to wait to see what other people tell you to think, you're probably a sucker.
I'm going
to
tell you this. I wish I was advising Trump right now, because if he wants to do something, he should go the other way, and the Democrats would get on board.
I think
on what
should,
he wants.
I think you should be an advisor for many people.
Yes, I think I should advise a lot.
Here's
of
other people.
I've
like
advised Dell for years; it hasn't worked out.
Here's another person I'd like to see. Let me think. I don't know who I'd want you to advise for. I mean, that's pretty high. The presidency is a really high.
Yeah, I mean, I could advise Zelensky.
What about Astros
or Putin, if you want?
What about Astros? No. I don't want you advising.
I could advise Jim Crane. Yeah.
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 I think I'd rather have you in there.
Yeah.
I bet Cam Smith to start the year up.
I don't know. I might go on. Listen, I'd like to see him around a little bit longer. I'm
torn. Sucking up to Jim Crane.
No, I'm torn on this one.
Why?
I want him around, okay?
Yeah.
I understand the whole process.
Then pay
of
that man.
He was 0 for 3 yesterday.
Then pay that man.
His OPS is down to 1,400.
And he lined into a double play.
Yeah, no, he did. Starting he hit that apart. Hard. He hit the ball hard.
Starting to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's got to find a gap, okay? I'm sorry. His OPS is down to 1,400. Beat it.
But how often do you even hear, like, I don't even hear. I know who they are. I interact with people like Big Ron. There's certain people forever that I know I can trust. My guy, Troy, who texts. Like, there's just certain guys that I know who when I talk to them, you're going to get the real. Like, legitimate conversation. It's not going to be based on agenda or whatever. You can have real conversations. Like, right now, I deal with that, and there's a lot of. It's very disingenuous on SportsCenter, on ESPN. It's very, very disingenuous conversations. You know, Dan Orlovsky right now, his guy is Anthony Richardson. So he was in on Anthony Richardson before the draft. Like, and he even, we joke around about the video where he actually said, it was a Twitter post, and he's like, guys, I'm watching this Anthony Richardson tape. Where's the inaccuracy?
That one good pass he threw.
Yeah, he shows, he goes, look at this. And it was against it was against LSU, I think. He goes, I don't see any inaccuracy. Where is it? And it was all over his tape. That was completely disingenuous for him to say that. I was interested. I did a Google search on Dan Orlovsky and Anthony Richardson. And do you know how hard over the last 2 years he has caped for him? Like, multiple times. And it's always somebody else's fault. Except one time he talked about his footwork being all over the place in September of this year. But everything else has been, they need to trade him. Anthony needs someplace that's going to blah, blah, blah. Like, how about just saying, I missed on it. All the people who bashed Josh Allen missed on it. Just say you missed on it. Yeah. Josh Allen got bashed. Lamar Jackson, if you've been bashing him, where's his credit for when he balled his ass off this year? This is best year I've ever seen. If you don't like Lamar for whatever reason it is, you can't give him credit for this year. And he's not just a running back playing quarterback. The guy threw the ball great this year. Like, do you have that in you to give guys credit? And especially with your own team. If it's your own team, a player, a coach, a GM, if you are busy bashing them, can you give them praise when they deserve it? Because here's the thing. It's not fair for me to just say that this guy, like, I had to say, I remember I lost a friendship with Jose Lima. What are we going to do? We had to say Lima was terrible in 2000. He got all mad. I mean, sorry, Daryl Morey. He got mad at something too. Don't care. Sorry. I mean, it's my job. You know, you're not doing, I think Daryl did a great job for much of the time, but it went sideways.
Man, your bias has just leaked through.
I know. But actually, I'm not biased.
You are.
I told the truth on you.
That was for me, though. He said that.
I told the truth on you. Your bias is leaking through, John.
My bias has always leaked through. I got a lot of leakage like that.
Man, your bias has just leaked through, John.
Eight.
Like you. You hate all Jalen's. You can't get off of the Jalen hate.
I've climbed on.
Jalen Petrie?
I'm on board. I don't love him in the nickel. I'm going to say that. I don't love him in the nickel. I don't love when he blitzes and just flails at the quarterback and misses him badly. I don't love that. Okay, he misses a lot of tackles. You cannot argue this. He misses tackles.
I'll look it up.
Go ahead. Go look it up.
It says here he's the best tackler in football last year. I haven't looked him up yet.
Okay.
I am curious to see what it is relative to he was better last year.
Yeah, he was better last year. The year before. Go look at his past years.
Tackling career. Let's look at missed tackle percentage.
Yeah.
Come on, PFF Ultimate.
I'm a Jalen fan. They missed him last year. They needed Jalen Petrie, they missed him last year. And now, with CJ, GJ, they're going to be better off. If J-Dub could be on the field.
His missed tackle percentage was 15% this year, 15% last year, 20% his rookie year. It's a little, good Lord. He had 36 missed tackles his rookie year. Good Lord.
That's a lot of missed tackles.
That's a lot of
missed. That's
a
game. Well, it's two a game.
In the run, he had 28 missed tackles in the run. Now, some of these, I go watch these, and some of the ones they have for missed tackles are not fair. Like, I go watch missed tackles for every prospect I have. And some of them are, they're just out of reach. Like, they dive and try to make a tackle. But they call it a miss. That's not a miss. No. A miss is when a guy jukes you. A miss is when you, you know, you get a tackle broken. Like, I have a different definition for misses.
See, you have an agenda here. It says right there is missed tackles. And you're like, well, now, wait a minute.
No.
Some of them aren't. Well, some of them are. Or maybe they even gave him, they didn't count all of them, if you want to know. That could be the case, too.
No, they count everything.
No, Jalen missed tackles. There's no question.
Oh, no, he did. He did. I'm just telling you that that number seems a little bit high. I would guess
not
some
to me,
of
but
them.
Okay. That's the only criticism I have of him. He misses a lot. He flies around like a maniac and misses tackles. That's the issue, though, especially when he blitzes. I'll bet you lot of those. Time to talk about Zadik. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Zadik Jewelers is a big deal. That's why you can go to Zadik.com. Birthday, anniversary, wedding? Wedding? Yeah. Spring weddings, spring engagements, all that stuff. You might want to get engaged in the spring and have a wedding in the spring. It's 1 year. You get engaged this year sometime in April, and then Zadik can help you set the whole thing up. I mean, obviously they have the best rings, the best rings. It's not even close. Every design, every designer, every jeweler you can. I mean, well, they're the jeweler, but every type of ring, every type of cut, the princess cut, all the, you know, I don't know. They know all that stuff. I just know that when I went in there to get a gift, no matter who you're talking to, their knowledge of the product is unbelievable. And it's more than just a cursory knowledge. They go deep, deep, deep with their knowledge of what it is that you're looking for. And that's what I want. I want somebody who I know that when I ask them what's going on here, that they're going to give me exactly what I need to know. And they're going to find exactly what it is that is going to make my wife happy, make your girlfriend happy, make your wedding, your engagement a special, special time. They can do that. Their upstairs is dedicated. They have two stories. The upstairs dedicated to the bridal experience and the engagement experience. So make sure you head over there for any jewelry that you're looking for, necklaces, pendants, earrings, bracelets, charms, women's watches, men's luxury watches. It's all available at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. It's Zadik.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
824 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Come hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My kids got the car picked up for Mason finally after their little...
Oh, nice.
After the little wreck, 4,800. That's all. No big deal. That felt good. I was in a good mood that day.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The house was very peaceful.
Oh, I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. Uh-huh. Nice, easy going.
Very easy, peaceful house. Now, I'd like for you to, Mason, I'd like for you and Sebastian maybe not to throw pizzas in each other's faces and fight when you're
while
you're driving a car. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but we all make mistakes, guys. You know, let's just try to be better. I'm not that dad. I wish I was. I'd probably be happier. I just don't have it in me. Larry wasn't that way, and I'm not that way either.
Yeah.
Larry Zerline wasn't. Oh, gosh, oh, golly.
Well, pizza's
he actually was better at than I am.
Yeah.
My dad actually, I mean, you know, he's pissed, but he was more understanding. I lost my mind the other day. And then when I told one of my kids that he was going to be responsible for 1,000 of it, the pizza chunker.
Yeah,
he got a little lippy, started kicking stuff and throwing stuff, and then I wasn't happy with that, not one bit. And so it was a very not great time.
No,
on Tuesday. So I wish I was like I've seen these other dads who can just. Well, I'm just really disappointed in you. And the kids are just, the kids crumble. When dad just says they're disappointed and they're just like, I'm just going to do better. I want to prove it. I want to make him happy.
That's what
I don't even know what that even looks like. My kids trying to make me happy by doing something I say?
No.
I can't. Oh, well, let's just try to do better.
They get better as they get older. They will.
How much
Drake is already better?
He took him like 26
years. That's what I'm saying.
27 years. No. I don't have that long to wait.
Well, right.
I'll be dead.
That's right.
Gilbert already's got me dead.
27, yeah.
Can I, and I just told him, I said, can I have one good week before I die? Can you guys just give me one week where you're not out of your minds doing stuff to piss the whole house off? Can I have one week before I die? And I didn't tell him when the death date
one is. By one, though, they're leaving the house and...
It's a blessing.
That's
oh, yeah, because nothing.
No.
I don't have any stress when they leave the house.
You don't want this? You sure you don't want none of this, no?
I would ask Lance, isn't it a comfort you're going to die in 27 so you know you don't have to deal with it for very much longer?
I will 100% tell you that I have.
Knowing that this will end?
Yeah, knowing you have a firm
date. I have
date.
Thought of it. Like, let me just put it this way. If I'm on a plane and it goes, while everyone else would freak out, I'd say, well, I mean.
Gotta go.
Win some, you lose some.
Yeah, it's my time to go.
I'm not. My heart rate's not even gonna.
This is a 50-50 for
my
me.
My heart rate won't this even is go a win, above 80.
This is a win-win.
I mean, like, hey, that's a jump ball here. Wife gets some life insurance, and you know,
yeah,
I gotta rest.
Yeah,
finally, you can
finally
rest.
Get the rest. All right, let's get Dave in here. Let's talk about the tournament today with the Cougs. What do you say, Dave?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. A couple questions for you. How important do you think this conference tournament is for the Cougars? I mean, they won the conference 19-1, undefeated on the road against conference opponents. You know, they got guys who are banged up. Shouldn't they be maybe resting guys a little bit going into the big tournament? And the other question I have is if they were to lose maybe, you know, tomorrow night, say, in the second game of this thing, Are they at any risk of losing their one seed going into this tournament?
I don't think so.
Just get your thoughts on that.
I don't think so. Auburn lost two in a row. They lost at A&M, and they lost.
They were cruising for much of the year
against Alabama at home.
Houston's got more losses on their.
Yeah, but they were early. They were. This team was 4-3.
Auburn has more good wins.
This team was 4-3.
Yeah.
At one point, and since then they've got one loss.
Right.
So. No, the Cougs have been on a great roll. Nah, I don't think, even if they lost tomorrow night, I still think they might be the fourth number one. But let's not forget Tennessee, Florida, and or Auburn and Alabama. Only one of those teams is going to survive the SEC. And a couple of them are going to lose in the semifinals at least. So, you know, the teams that they're vying with for the one seat, and I don't think it matters if they're a one or a two. I really don't think so.
I don't really either.
But
you got to play the same type of team.
But, no, I think the Cougs are going to be a one seed. I think they're, even if they. Now, if they lose to Colorado today, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they're a two. Maybe. But they've had just a great, great season. Great season.
Joe Lunardi has.
And I disagree with you about resting players. There's, you know, Sharp's ankle. But other than that, I mean, and, you know, Jaywan. He also had, I think it was an ankle in the last game, but he came back and he was fine in the second half. He was more dominant. I don't think they rest anybody. If you want to know the truth, that ain't Kelvin. Now he does wait for guys to come back. Sharp played well in the second half against Baylor. I don't see him resting anybody. I just don't.
So you're looking at the two seeds. So Joe Lunardi has it currently. I would imagine the first number one is, I guess, Duke and Auburn are the top two. Then I would think Houston is three and then Florida four.
Yep.
Is my guess.
Yep. Yep.
But
yep.
The twos, here are the twos. So if you're going to look for Houston to lose, you got to see who could jump them. Texas Tech is a two. So if they beat Houston either head to head, I think Houston would have to lose early in the next round. They're not going to lose to Colorado, God forbid. I mean, if they do lose Colorado, they probably do fall out of the one seed, but they're not going to lose that. But if Texas Tech played head-to-head and they beat the Houston Cougars, could Tech jump ahead? I don't think so.
No, but they also went to Tech and beat them.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Houston beat them here.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Tech beat them here.
Oh, no, Tech beat them here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they got a win over Houston in Houston.
Yeah.
It's a good win.
But right. Then they went afterwards and beat the snot out of them.
They were
Tech.
Missing two starters.
Yes, that's true.
Alabama's a two seed. Tennessee is a two seed.
Yeah.
Michigan State is a two seed.
Yep.
Of those two seeds, who could you see beating? So the Cougs would have to lose. Would a loss? So,
well,
if
again,
Alabama wins the SEC,
if Alabama wins the SEC, then all the other teams lost.
Yeah. Well, if Auburn, that's true. Well, you got two SEC. You already have two SEC. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like who? You've already got two SEC one seeds.
No, I think the Cougs are. I think they're pretty much a lock. Them and Duke are a lock for
Michigan now, State. Shouldn't catch them. Yeah. I guess the only one really would be Texas Tech. If they got two wins over Houston in three games, beating two out of three times, maybe they got a case to be made.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's a good basketball team, a really good basketball team, and they play a lot like the Cougs. This is going to be fun.
This
is going to be a fun tournament.
I'm looking at the brackets. They've got Houston 4 in this curve, but they've got it like Alabama, Michigan State, Tennessee, Clemson is a 2 seed, is what team rankings has, and then they've got Texas Tech 3. Now Texas Tech is 24 and 7. I think Tech is the team to watch for, because if you've got 2 out of 3 wins against Houston, Houston's got 5 losses, and 2 of them came to you, you might have a shot.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
What if Clemson beats Duke? Could Clemson catch?
I don't think so. Clemson came on late. Let's not forget, when they played Duke, Clemson wasn't even ranked. Clemson has come on strong, but Clemson is they don't have the resume that the Cougs do. They don't have the quad one wins. Listen, the Duke doesn't have the resume, if you want to know the truth. Duke just doesn't. They haven't played. Their competition has been so soft this year. If Duke loses, I think they could fall out.
How about this?
Everybody in basketball loves Duke because of Cooper Flagg.
Their one seed projection is 79%. Auburn is a 99% one seed. Almost like they, no matter what happens.
Yeah, and they lost the last two games.
Yeah. Florida is 68%. Houston is 64%. Alabama 41%. But Alabama would probably, Alabama would have to win the SEC tournament, which could knock Florida out of a one seed.
Yeah.
And then, so I don't know that I don't really see a scenario where you have 3 1 seeds from the SEC. And then Michigan State, they got it 38%. Texas Tech, they got 0%.
Really?
That doesn't seem. Now, this is team ranking, so I don't know that that's.
I trust Lunardi, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah. I don't know how old Lunardi's bracket stuff is. It's today. It's this morning.
Yeah. Lunardi is like up to the second.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's today.
Yeah. All right. What we're talking about now is Houston Powder Coaters. Robin and everybody over there are fantastic. Houston Powder Coaters is trusted by businesses like the Marriott Marquis, the Downtown Aquarium, the Westside Tennis Club, the Kima Boardwalk, Discovery Green, Herman Park, Woodlands Waterway, NRG Stadium. If they trust them with their business, then why wouldn't you? And it's a little bit different with businesses. You know, they will go to their businesses. And if you have a business, let's say you have some kind of a fencing around your outdoor patio at your restaurant, Houston Powder Coaters will go and they will take care of it at your place. If you are residential, Houston Powder Coaters will come and pick it up and deliver it absolutely free. Okay? They're not going to work out of it at your house, but they will work on it at Houston Powder Coaters, and they'll pick it up and deliver it absolutely free. So what is it that you have that's metal that you want to save? What patio furniture do you want to save? And oh, by the way, they'll fix the straps, the slings, they'll repair the hardware, everything. They'll do it all. Seen it. I've been there, done it. I've seen it, and it's great. The workmanship is second to none. The primping, the priming, they really, really care. They're going to make it look the best they possibly can. You have something metal that you want to look new again, 281-676-3888, 281-676-3888, or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. We got an interesting story developing in San Francisco, and we will get to it in a second. But first, we got JT with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. What up, JT?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just wanted to give you guys a call back. I called back for the snow day, and I was advocating for the Texas Trade Council. And although I was a little surprised that we didn't get it first, you know, unlike the previous regime, I have a lot of trust in Nick that he was able to squeeze as much as possible out of that trade. And I was actually fairly pleased with it, other than the first, like I said. But, you know, you guys were talking yesterday about the draft and the targets. Obviously, we need offensive line. But what's not being talked about is the offensive line coaching. We had a lot of money invested in that offensive line. We had high draft picks. And it appears that Nick had tried to do everything he could to solidify that line. But nothing they did ever worked. So why wouldn't you, and this is to you and Lance and John, why wouldn't you go out there and put a wedge in that offensive lineman coach in Philadelphia, or, you know, maybe the top three coaches out there, and throw money at his face if you're that, you know, if you're that eager to improve the offensive line? I think that's where the Texans are missing, is the coaching. You know, you can have a lot of first rounders. I mean, heck, the Texans had nothing but first and second rounders on that offensive line. And another thing is, who are the touchdown makers on this team? I mean, if you're going to go first and second round with offensive linemen, which I kind of addressed earlier, is it the coaching or is it the players? But who's TJ going to be throwing the ball to? I mean, if anything, we've seen is that Nico Collins will get hurt at least one time during the year. He will miss a month. I mean, that's just the pattern he's going. Mixon's another year longer on those legs. I mean, we need touchdown makers. We need difference makers on the offensive line. You have one in TJ, and you're still talking about that rookie window. I think you still have to attack the offensive weapons in the draft. I'll hang up with this guy.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
I think it's fair.
You didn't score enough touchdowns last year.
Yeah. I think it's fair. You didn't score enough touchdowns because your offensive line sucked, though, in large part.
Yeah, but they also just didn't execute when they got in red zone.
And you need, listen, I don't. Where is the Texans' wide receiver room right now as compared to other NFL teams? Bottom third?
Bottom half.
Bottom half?
Well, because, I mean, you got a really good number one.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk right now would be considered a three or four on most good teams. He just doesn't play much. He doesn't play enough. And when he hasn't been very productive. So he'd be considered a four on most good teams.
Where is the Texans' offensive line room?
Right now, bottom third.
Bottom third.
Because it's too much. You don't know at left tackle. And even then, you're not. How are you different or better inside? Lake and Tomlinson? Some of it can change with coaching, just more consistent play. Some of it could change with, you know, kind of calling plays to get the ball out quicker, whatever. I don't know. He's not wrong, though. He's not wrong. Who are the touchdown makers?
He might not be wrong about the coaching either. Why didn't you go out there and get a big name, well-established coach as opposed to giving a raise and a promotion to a guy who failed last year?
You know why? Because they're not available. Everyone says that, but you'll notice, when's the last time you saw somebody leave a situation? You don't.
There are really good college offensive line coaches.
Well, you would have had to go to college.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't do it in the pros. No. Like, he's talking about going to get Jeff Stoutland from the Eagles. He's under contract.
Yeah.
He can't come.
Yeah.
He's under contract. And so they wouldn't give him permission to go. It would be a lateral move. And even if you try to give him an assistant head coaching role to try to come, like, they'd say, nope, you don't have permission. And they're paying him well anyway. So you can't take an NFL team's coach, because you'll notice coaches don't make the move. If you're good, you get extensions. If you're not good, then you're on the market. Like, you don't have a team. So the only guys you can hire are guys who aren't in pro football. If your contract is expired and they're not signing you back, like, you never see anybody say, I'm just playing it out. I'm just going to play it out. No, but we want to sign you. We want to sign you back. We're just going to play it out, and I'm going to be a free agent as a coach. Never happens. NFL coaches only get 2 and sometimes, if you're lucky, 3-year contracts if you're a position coach. It's not enough. And you're not making NFL head coaching money or player money. So they're always going to opt to the guaranteed money, you know, the contract, whenever they can get them. So that's why you can't get a good coach to jump from team to team. It never happens. But college, yeah, you could get a college coach.
Yeah. And there's really good.
But then you have to deal with college coaches sometimes. You have to have the right room. My dad went to the Pittsburgh Steelers from, he went to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Then he went for a year to the Buffalo Bills. So he had 5 years in the NFL after years in college. Then he went to the Steelers, and it was hard. Alan Faneca made it really, really tough on him. Because Alan was the guy in the room, and he didn't like that Russ Grimm wasn't there anymore. So he made it a pain in the ass for my dad, who recruited him to LSU, by the way. And Alan was a big pain in the ass. He was really tough because he tried to keep everyone, you know, he wasn't Russ Grimm. So he tried to turn everyone, you know, negative, sour him against my dad. And my dad had to get through that with Kendall Simmons and, you know, but Max Starks was really good. Those guys, once he was out of there, Willie Colon was good with my dad. All the offensive linemen were good with my dad. But if you have a leader in the locker room, I'm just thinking about this, the same Tunsil deal, you know, apparently the offensive line, they decided they didn't like they didn't want the head coach. They didn't want the OC.
Yeah. The difference is that was a Super Bowl quality offensive line versus this one.
And that one actually had some holes in it, talent wise. But yeah, I mean, Faneca had been a Pro Bowl.
Well, they won a Super Bowl, so yeah.
They ended up winning one.
That's what I'm saying.
When he took over, they hadn't.
No, but yeah.
Right.
No.
Right.
They ended up winning a Super Bowl.
They had, but Faneca was gone by then. There can be a guy in the locker room, like with offensive line or any position. You got to remember now, these are grown men too. They can make it really tough on a college coach if they don't think, you know, if they like their last coach, which was not the case here, or there's personalities at play. It's not necessarily just everything works. They come in and, well, tell us what to do, coach. What should we do? Okay, well, we'll do that as hard as we can for you. That's not the reality. That's not real life. There's guys with egos, and sometimes they can make it real tough on coaches. So when you get college coaches, you got to make sure you get the right one, because sometimes if you had a Tunsil and you got veterans in that, and they're like, I ain't doing, this guy's not telling me, you know, I'll make sure that I put my foot down, and I'm not practicing here. I'm not practicing here. I'm not going to do this and do that. And sometimes when you have yellers and screamers, my dad wasn't an easy coach. Some players don't like that. They want it to be easy. They don't like being coached hard. So there's different things at play.
All right, when we come back, there's some behind-the-scenes wife and girlfriend stuff going on in San Francisco, and it ain't pretty. We will hear about it next. Right now, we're going to hear about John Daspit.
Well, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm works for you, and loss of property, if that's because of a security issue. I didn't even know he did that. And he did that during when we had that hurricane that knocked all of our lights off and all that stuff that we had. There was a security issue for a group of people who ended up having a lot of things stolen. And they hired John Daspit, and John Daspit went after the company and that was responsible, and their insurance ended up paying for all the things that had been stolen out of these apartments. It was a bad deal. And, you know, it's just one of the things John Daspit does. They look out for the individual who has been wronged due to negligence. And so if you go to DaspitLaw.com, you can see the areas that they work in, and you can understand there's a lot of different areas where John Daspit steps in and helps people. And that's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to give you the best opportunity for you to go about your business if you've ever been wronged, and, you know, and be compensated for what you lost, be compensated for time off, for your physical suffering or emotional suffering, whatever the case may be. Some people, those refinery blasts end up with PTSD, and physical ailments and disabilities that will last a lifetime, man, there's a lot that goes into that. And you need somebody who's going to fight for you and not rush through to get a quick settlement. You need the right settlement, and that's where John Daspit comes in. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. You're not going to find anyone better than John Daspit.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del, you've seen this video. Who is this woman that is talking? I haven't deciphered that either. But there is a woman who is talking on this Instagram post. And up above it, okay, they're pouring a Diet Coke into behind her. I mean, it's superimposed of a Diet Coke being poured while she's talking. She's sitting on a couch. There's some kind of a rose thing. She's sitting on the couch, and you'll hear her talk. Up above, Sydney Warner, who's Fred Warner's wife,
posts.
It's her account? No.
Well, Sydney Warner's at the top. That means it's her post.
The person pouring, as John said, there's a woman superimposed on a post. The post is of Sydney Warner pouring, or story, pouring a Diet Coke into a glass.
She's superimposed in front. It's Sydney Warner's post, but the woman is not Sydney Warner.
No, I know. Yeah, it's her post.
Right, it's her post. Sydney Warner, it says, rare earth, I just want to celebrate. Now, this post came out right after their fullback.
Long-time fullback, Kyle Juszczyk.
Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk was cut by the team.
Oh, okay.
So above this woman talking, it says, it was posted by ML Football, trending. Multiple social media sleuths claim that there is a major feud between 49ers wags due to Donald Trump and politics. Fans are claiming the beef is between Sydney Warner and the group of Kristen Juszczyk, Claire Kittle, and Olivia Culpo, who is Christian McCaffrey's girl.
It breaks along racial lines?
No, political lines.
Political and racial lines.
Well, it just happens.
Well, because Fred Warner's wife?
Yeah, she is. I've seen
that. I don't know who she is or what she looks like, so.
Yeah, I've seen them do. They sit by a pool and they talk. They have a podcast.
Okay,
Fred and his wife. Anyway, this is due to Trump and politics. And here is this woman who is superimposed in front of this post by Sydney Warner. Here's what she had to say.
I really hope that Sydney Warner isn't trying to celebrate that certain people are leaving the 49ers. She posted this saying, and the day just keeps getting better, celebratory Diet Coke. This is very niche, I guess, but if you're a 49ers fan who follows the Wags as well, you know that she does not hang out with Claire Kittle or Kristen Juszczyk. This was posted 18 hours ago, and it was posted on the NFL's account 20 hours ago that he was getting released. I don't think I'm the first person to notice this. I think that a lot of people know that they don't hang out together, but Claire and Kristen have been like the, I don't want to say top wags in the 49ers team, but they've been there the longest. I like Sydney Warner. I like Fred Warner. But this just, it's bad timing if it's not throwing shade. It's very bad timing because I think other people are already speculating this has to do with people getting released or signing somewhere else.
Do you think
Do
you think the Wags are playing a role in people getting released by the 49ers?
No.
It would have been Sydney Warner's, if we're buying that it has political undertones, it would have been her nightmare if both the other Bosa came through, because that was the rumor that they're going to sign the other Bosa brother with Nick. She probably wouldn't have enjoyed that combo.
I have never seen it more divisive based on politics. Never. Well, remember
it could be just
not
women not liking other women too.
Yeah.
Well, there's always that.
Well, is it Okay.
I mean, because WAGs do click up. You know that from baseball, the Astros, not that they had any beef, but certain wives are friends with certain wives and girlfriends.
Yeah.
They click up like...
No, absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Now, I don't remember political beef between wives. I don't know if we've ever... I don't know. There probably was, but well, we've never been as divisive. Did you see the White Lotus clip of the three women who are grown now that grew up together, but they hadn't seen... One moved to California, one was in New York.
Yeah,
one was
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
and
see
they
the
were
clip,
at dinner, and they were... They were disgusted with their friend because she votes for Trump.
She lives in Austin now.
Yeah, she lives in Austin. Right.
Well, I mean, it felt like
real life.
Felt like a real life thing.
Yes.
Not surprising.
And then they talk bad about each other. Like, when there's two together, they'll say something about, she doesn't look as good. She's looking old. What work has she had done? Every time, you see, you saw that. So when there's two in White Lotus and they talk about, when there's two and there's always one who overhears what they're saying about her, that's happened now with all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's coming to a head on White Lotus. Like, they're trying to act cool with each other, but always two kind of have something snippy
to say
about one.
Think that's a little like what's going on with the 49ers,
Wags? I mean, wives and girlfriends, what, you think this is new? The women get catty with each other?
I just hate that we're celebrating Kyle getting cut.
I just don't even care. Cut Kyle, cut Kittle. I don't care what y'all do. That's not my team.
No.
Burn the whole organization to the ground.
Wow. Wow.
I don't care. If you're not in my
stratosphere, it's a great organization that's one of the great organizations in football history.
If you're Sidney Warner, you can say to yourself, get him and that girl who's become famous from cutting up jerseys and turning them into like jackets and sweaters.
Who's doing that?
Kyle Juszczyk's wife. She's turned her...
Because Kupo's got her own thing.
Well, she's a mono. She's pregnant with McCaffrey's child. If you're Sidney Warner...
And
like,
he's hurt again.
Well... Yeah, he had work to do in the offseason. If you're Sidney Warner, like, get her out of here. Grabbing fame, making those stupid jackets, beat it.
I've become a big believer in now, these people making this much money don't care about you. They don't care if you're on the streets. I'm not going to care about them.
No.
I'm a big believer in that. I watch people have a hard time. Like, nobody can even buy a house anymore. Average people, working class is getting snuffed out. I don't give a damn about rich people in sports. I don't care how much money you make. You don't care about me. You ain't paying for none of my stuff. You ain't paying for Mason's $4,800 car bill when Snacks and him started fighting in a car. You wouldn't care if I die tomorrow. So I ain't putting one single care, I mean, beyond just my sports stuff.
Sure.
I don't care.
Your enjoyment when you watch a game.
Those women can fight all they want and keep pouring Diet Cokes on each other all they want.
Well, in glasses, not each other.
It wasn't. They weren't pouring
each other. Yeah, but I would like it better if they're pouring Diet Cokes on
each
other.
My day just keeps getting better.
Would you want them to wear less clothing while they're pouring Diet Cokes on?
It doesn't matter to me. I care more.
I bet you would.
They're wives and girlfriends of other people.
Let them all crash and burn. I don't care.
Mm.
All y'all's husbands can get cut. Don't make me any difference. Mm. Y'all ain't paying my bills. You're not helping me out at all.
Well, it's not.
That's when I see people put capes on for players. He got the bag. Nice. That man's not going to give you one penny.
You don't know that.
If you're on the streets, if you're on the streets, he wouldn't care about
you. What if it's his baby mama that's posting that?
Well,
then
that's different.
Okay.
That's different.
That man got his bag.
No, you're involved. If you're involved, if you're a friend or family member, I totally get it. If you're not involved... And that man would just walk over you or maybe even piss on you in the streets?
Hey.
John Chill.
Yeah,
Cut it there.
I real represent it.
Okay.
They don't care about you. Why do you care about them?
John Chill joining us on the other side right here. He cares. On the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to see my man Doc Linville today, as a matter of fact. We're going to go slap Whitey around. Okay? It's called golfing, though. We're going to go slap Whitey. It's a white ball.
After the last segment?
Yeah.
White power!
Well, no, it's slapping Whitey around. No power in that. That ball, that just gets hit around. That's what it does. Okay? And Doc Linville, we're going to go hit it. And I'm going to tell you this. Doc Linville is awesome. I owe a lot to him, and you will owe a lot to him, too. If you've got hair issues, Doc Linville is here for you. What I need you to do is go to 975hair.com. If you are somebody, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even if you want to do it in your 60s, that's fine too. You might just say, I'm done with this. I don't worry about it anymore. But if you're younger and you're losing your hair, what are you doing? Don't. You don't have to. But do it now. Because you don't want it to be mostly bald, and you're like, okay, doc, time. No, it's not time. Now's the time. Attack it. Get the PRP where you stimulate the growth of your own hair, or get the neo-grafting when it's easier to fill in and those hairs will stay forever. You're looking for the best way to attack this balding problem. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.